special guest for you this morning. As we told you, Adam Wason will join us right now. He is the Director of Public Works for the City of Bloomington. Happy holiday. Happy, happy, happy.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being with us.
Like the forecast is looking good for the weekend, and hopefully people get to enjoy that.
Yeah, they will. And if they're camping or doing anything else, a little heat, that's not terrible as well. It's been so warm the last few weeks. At least the top layer of the lake should be nice. We've had a few holiday forecasts on Memorial Day over the last decade that have been in the 60s, so I think this is a welcome relief to the official vacation season. Do you have big plans for it?
Mow the lawn and work around the house. Well, no big plans
like
this weekend, but...
How much mulch can one man lay in the holiday weekend? Well, we're going to find out. But we are not here to talk about fun stuff like that. We're here to talk about all the wonderful stuff that is going on around Bloomington, and we thank you for your time as always. And we've seen in the paper, and we've seen and heard and everywhere else about all the things that are going on with our projects, infrastructure, and traffic, and everything else that goes along with that. And we just wanted to hear from you how that is progressing along. And you know what? Everybody wants to talk traffic, so let's start there. Who came up with having the police officers help move it through the intersection? Whose idea was that? That was absolutely fantastic, and it looks like it's really working.
Well, I'll tell you whose idea, and you don't get to argue with him when he asked for things. It was Mayor Hamilton. Mayor Hamilton said, you know, guys, we need to do something more. And with the most recent lane configuration changes there on the 3rd Street Bridge overpass that happened about 7-8 days ago, we recognized that the traffic pattern out there, it was bad previously. You know, folks were losing 10-15 minutes at a time sometimes. But after those most recent lane configuration changes, folks were losing 30 minutes. They were backed up all the way to Landmark. We were seeing things that we hadn't seen quite to that extent. And, you know, the mayor said, Police Chief Dekoff, Adam, go figure out a way, work with NDOT. And I do want to thank our friends at NDOT for allowing us to get out there and try and move things along in that afternoon rush hour.
And people can give you any story they want. They can yell at you on Facebook or leave a message on your answering machine and tell you, and you've had a couple of those, and they can tell you, I waited for 947 minutes. Well, we know.
You know, the cool thing right now, though, Glass, the real cool thing we've been able to do right now, and I don't ever fly this thing because I'm not sure.
Well, that's where I was going with this, absolutely.
Yeah. No, you know, Tom Miller and his team with Innovation, they've been, Tom's a drone captain, I guess you'd call him or something, drone pilot. You know, it's been really neat to be able to see, you know, use technology like that, get out in the field and say, you know what, here's how it looked last Tuesday at 4 o'clock, here's how it looks this Tuesday at 4 o'clock.
But people can see that. You're showing to them if they want to watch on your YouTube channel. It's brilliant. So people say, it's not that bad out there. You can see how bad it is.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. I also want folks to know, we understand that there are some really significant choke points going on right now. We understand that folks are losing, you know, time, and we don't take that lightly. We just have to suggest that you try to go off-peak as much as possible or go, you know, further out of your way than you normally think you would need to probably save 10 or 15 minutes here or there. It's been a rough spring and fall spring for construction. You know, we're hitting the peak of summer construction. But, you know, the other thing I'd like to stress is that there is some light at the end of the tunnel here. We're getting to a point here soon where we're going to see some relief points. Tap Road overpass should open here in a week. 2nd Street should be back to a four-lane configuration at the overpasses here in 4 weeks. Actually, we're down about 3 weeks, mid-June, third week of June or so, they'll get 2nd Street back to more capacity. 3rd Street's going to take longer, that they've still got some significant wall work to do there. But, you know, so there's some relief with the east-west for folks getting held up by the I-69 project. And then, yes, there's other, you know, there's the bridge project on the south side and others that I can give updates on, too, if you'd like.
Yeah, and we'll get to those here in just a second. But I just want people to understand that... you know, and I was talking to you about this right before we went on the air. Government usually gets a bad rap when they don't do anything, or B, don't listen. And I want to give you and the administration credit. You are listening and trying to do something. Now, you can't move heaven and earth. We've tried to do that. But you've put people on the street in a capacity where it affects what's happening right now, where you're trying to move these bottlenecks with the officers at Liberty and the officers at Gates and everywhere else. Is that going to continue? Mick Renheisen made it sound like that might go another week or so.
Yeah, we're gonna keep monitoring. We're gonna keep looking. There's a lot of resources that go into that. Just the dollar value alone of putting additional officers out there, at overtime rates, and when you're talking 4 and 5 intersections, and at least one, if not two, officers at each intersection, and you multiply that by 5 days, and by 4 hours a day and 5 days a week, and
as Captain Kellums has told us, he doesn't have guys laying around, sitting around, waiting for something to do either.
No, so we're going to keep evaluating. Again, we're hoping that some of these other interchange openings will just provide the relief valve to the one to the further north. So when Tap Road opens, we're hoping that we'll see some significant reductions in the wait times on Second Street, which will hopefully lessen slightly the wait times on 3rd Street. Then when 2nd gets opened up, same thing with 3rd Street. Less people needing to go, converge in those specific areas. But, that's the approach I'm taking right now. It's light at the end of the tunnel. I know folks are upset about some of the situations with Country Club and Bora Road down there on the south side, too, and those are those are projects that are ongoing as well.
You can't just dig into the ground and put a bunch of infrastructure in over the weekend. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. You would love to do that. You'd love just to insert it in there and be done with it. But that's not how it works.
It's not. And, I hope folks recognize whether it's the I-69 project or the Country Club Bridge project or the Roar Road project down there, Gordon Pike, Fullerton Pike, Roar Road, it's got to have three names if it's a street in Bloomington.
That's right. And who came up with that? Where we give credit when credit is due. Why is it if it's east, it's one street, and if it's west, the other? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, point to be made, though, is those projects are all under work conditions where they're working 6 10-hour days instead of 5 8-hour days. With the I-69 project, I'm guessing they're on something closer to 6 10s or 7 12s. They are out there, they're working, they're doing everything they can, and so projects are, you can do them overnight, you can incentivize them, you can do things like we've done to extend the work day, extend the work week, and get contractors on board to understand this, the importance of that to the community. The fewer days folks are stuck in traffic, the better off we all are, I promise. I know that much.
Adam Wason's our guest this morning. He's the Director of Public Works for the City of Bloomington, and everybody has noticed traveling on Walnut Street between, First and South High School. The signs are up. The signs have been up all week saying, get ready, because Grimes Lane is going to be closed right around the corner. What have we learned here from the last few weeks that you're going to apply to that situation here in the next week or so?
Well, the biggest thing it's we're working on light synchronization at all times. We're paying attention to that the best we can. So in other areas, we are trying to adjust and make sure we're looking at the way the traffic signals operate. We're going to, with the Grimes Lane project, again, a major infrastructure project that's going to have to dig about 12 to 14 feet down into the ground to lay a 40-some inch sewer pipe for, over 500 feet. Huge project, a very big project. But, with that project, the timing of it is not ideal, but we took a lot of factors into consideration when we were talking with the City of Bloomington Utilities on that one to figure out when to do it. I know we've talked about it in the past. Our guiding factor there to do it right now and while Country Club's still got closure going on is we heard loud and clear from MCCSE that if that project extends into the school year past August 8th, they're going to have 3,000 kids each morning that are going to be late to school on buses. We know it's not an ideal start time, but we also had to take into account a lot of other factors. Detours for that one are going to be hillside over to Henderson and up to either 1st or 2nd Street, and then utilize Rogers as well for that detour. It's going to be pretty rough there while Country Club's still closed, but our main goal also was to limit the overlap to as few days as possible. It's why we help work with the county to incentivize the bridge project. And, you know, right now we're here in, third week of June, at the latest, probably for the Country Club Bridge, talking to our friends at the county, but, hopeful it's even sooner than that to actually get the roadway open. County, and City of Bloomington Utilities all chipped in money to incentivize that project and get them onto 610s and, work with that contract to lengthen the work day and work week to get that one done, as well as for Grimes and Walnut.
Talk about how it's been trying to coordinate all of these moving parts together. Are you the spearhead of this it's kind of like herding cats, because everybody to a degree has their own agenda of what needs to be done. How do you guys all work together?
That's a great point. And folks have been, we've been having some pretty targeted shots taken at us. Who coordinated this? Why was there such a lack of planning? I assure you, these things have been discussed at high levels for years and years and years in the end. But when you have one major delay in the biggest project that's over 2 years late, everything else gets exacerbated after that.
Dominoes.
Every time you go over, that is a huge factor in all this, but I assure you, the state and the city and the county meet every other Tuesday at 1 o'clock, and it's the highest level managers of all the organizations saying, where are we at? What are we doing? What's the next step? How can we work together? So that's been going on. That's been going on for months and months and years, literally. But the other part about why these projects are out there right now at the same time, and people just constantly say, well, why don't you delay one? The moment you delay one of these major federally funded highway projects, the dominoes fall into the next year's. And it's fiscal years that start, it's a fiscal year calendar. And when you say, nope, we're not going to do this project in the year it's scheduled to receive those federal dollars, in some cases, those dollars just go away. And we cannot jeopardize that level of investment in our community. Cannot. And so the stress is there from the traffic, but the stress would be worse if we have a crumbling road system that's already struggling to keep up with the growth of the community.
Well, we've seen other communities around the state and around the country that have just kicked this down the road another year, another 10 years or whatever, then bridges are falling apart and roads are falling apart. And then it's a bigger price tag number that makes everybody suffer. So I'd rather suffer in traffic than suffer in payment.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at any survey of public managers, public administrators, or elected officials out there, you look at any survey out there put on by any of the major organizations that represent those folks, and almost always the number one concern of those folks is lack of resources to invest in infrastructure. So when you get outside resources, i.e. federal dollars, you invest them. The Tappan Rockport project that's coming up, it's over a $2 million project, $2.5 million, I think it's around $2.7 or $2.8 million. But 80% of those dollars come in from federal highway, not local dollars, in the end. And so when you have access to those in that amount, you've got to go. And I'll tell you, Tappan Rockport's another project we can talk about, but that one's been in planning stages for over 10 years. It's gone through a couple of design changes and everything else, but it takes that long to slot that expensive little project into the federal highway funding mechanism. It does take the planning, I promise.
The angle that maybe people are confused on that you can help out with is, well, that project's taken 10 years to put together. You keep putting it off, but you're going to get the money down the road. They don't all work the same way, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and then absolutely, they don't all work the same way. And then you put on top of those big federal projects like I-69, like the 80-20 projects that are Gordon Pike, Fullerton, and Tappan Rockport. You put together those major federal projects with then just the local projects. The guy that's building an apartment building or a residential house in a neighborhood and the small road closures those have, it again just exacerbates and dominoes. That that domino falling of frustration and traffic, just, you know, from the biggest projects on down. And we're seeing it, and we're trying to do what we can.
Now, you've talked about what's coming up here in the next couple of months. Are there any other massive projects we need? We hope by school getting done, or getting started, rather. And here comes Labor Day. We hope most of it is on the way to completion.
You know, yeah, so I-69 is still, you know, the NDOT folks that we meet with every other week are still, you know, standing by substantial completion by the end of August 2018. Substantial completion defined by them is that they would have the main line, I-69, open to two lanes of travel in each direction. And so two lanes of travel in each direction, and then, you know, they'll come back and do landscaping and stuff in the spring, but they're still saying August 2018. No other, you know, the main projects coming up. You got Grimes and Walnut starting up. You've got the Country Club Bridge finishing up, and then you've got Tapp and Rockport starting up. So, you know, again,
what is Tapp and Rockport going to be? We've heard roundabout. We've heard traffic signals.
Yeah, so originally it was supposed to be the original designs and consideration were for roundabouts, but it'll be a traffic signal. The hill that leads east into the stop sign currently at Tapp and Rockport on Tapp, you know, you get the hill and it's a real quick drop. They'll level that hill out. It'll be a major safety improvement to the whole intersection. You know, stoplight with pedestrian crossings. There'll be a side path that'll go on the north side of the road down towards the retention pond at Adams. So it'll be a major improvement. It's an entire intersection improvement project. Again, did go through the design change. There's a lot of karst features in the southeast corner of that intersection that when they got, you know, deep into design with the roundabout, they realized they were going to have to push it way further northwest and by several of the homes up in there, which was not the ideal situation.
I'm on that side of town, and you can see, I think that's the church property with the karst features there. Then you're into a neighborhood, Southern Pines, on the other side.
And, yep, exactly.
And you have the Jehovah's Witnesses over there. That's an awkward four-way stop because of how you need to turn through it. So it needs to be fixed. That's the point. It's a safety issue.
It'll realign the intersection to create safer and better sight lines. It'll be a stoplight that'll be able to handle the traffic better. You know, ideally, it would have been a roundabout. Roundabouts handle traffic tremendously. you know, it just didn't work. So the stoplight will at least improve those. You know, I've lived on the southwest side of town for the last 10-plus years, and, you know, Tapp and Rockport gets backed up at busy hours, so hopefully that light relieves some of that traffic as well.
And that's exactly why it's improving. And people want to know, hey, why not? Well, now you know why. Those features, those neighborhoods, it just isn't as easy as drawing it up on a cocktail napkin and starting to tear the place apart. It doesn't work that way. Where is the Gordon Pike Fullerton? That's near me. You can see from one top of the hill to the other, but that doesn't seem – the first part of that is getting Walnut Street Pike to Walnut Street on Roar Road done, and then it'll eventually start moving west?
Yeah, you know, Glass, I'm going to...
You can pass, that's fine.
I'm going to defer a little bit to Lisa Ridge on this one with the county. That's their project. The details I know are that the section between Walnut and Walnut Street Pike, they've got I think the newspaper did a correction yesterday. Originally they said September, but I believe that's not until November. That's a, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was November to start with too. Yeah.
And so, but as far as the specifics on that one, Lisa's going to be your best.
Okay. Well, I'll get with her then, because it just, again, it shows you the layers of how these things need to accomplish. It's not one body doing all the work on all of it. So, all right, we'll keep our fingers crossed that Mother Nature. We've had a pretty dry May. That's been the good news. Usually, May is.
Pretty dry. Yeah. No.
We haven't gotten any rain to talk about. That's another thing. The lake is above level, and we've had 2.5 inches of official rain. So I'm not sure where all this rain's coming. But we're going to try to keep it dry for you. We're going to try for the Grimes project. We're going to try to keep it dry so everybody that's just getting out of school will be able to get back into that. But I don't think people understand how many kids are affected by that. That's
The people are, you know, I can just picture the meeting we were in. It was in the McCloskey Room at City Hall, and we had, emergency services. We had Bloomington Transit. We had IU Transit. We had MCCSC's transportation folks, the mayor, the deputy mayor, myself, our city engineers, the county. We were all in a room together, and we're looking at that Grimes and Walnut project with the folks from CBU, and it was like, when Nathan Oliver pulled up his spreadsheet of how many each route and the number of kids on that route and the potential delays that they would face in that morning time frame trying to get kids to school, it just became apparent. It was like, there's no way to not overlap this with the Country Club project for some period of time.
And finding that out beforehand than after is right, good stuff.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to touch on? I don't want to feel like I'm rushing you out of here.
No. What time's the Hoosier baseball game today?
The Hoosier baseball game is tonight, so you have plenty of time tonight to get your yard done and get your work done there. 8:30. They're going to take on Illinois, a rematch of Wednesday night.
That's better than 10:35, like Wednesday night. So that's good.
Oh, that was
goodness gracious.
That hurt. And as Chuck accurately mentioned last hour, it will start no earlier than 8:30, just because I think there's a game before it. So even if it does get done, it'll be a firm time or forward from that. But you know what? 8:30 turns into 9:15 on Friday night. That's on Memorial Day weekend. Not nearly as painful as a 10:35 Wednesday night first
Wednesday
pitch.
Night. Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully those guys in red get the guys in orange.
I couldn't agree more, and hopefully the Hoosiers will, we hope they're in Omaha for the rest of the weekend. We hope you have a great weekend. I can't tell you how much we appreciate the access and the information. Obviously, I've recorded this interview. We'll put it up at our webpage at WGCLradio.com, WGCL Radio on Facebook as well, and we'll share it. If people need information or are wondering why, we try to get you the answer to why, and that's because of you spending the time. Thank you very much.
Hey, appreciate you, Michael. I really do. Take care.